Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score Baseball insider Bruce Levine and Matt Spiegel. It all starts right here, right now, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
It is indeed Inside the Clubhouse right now, right here on 670 The Score. I am Matt Spiegel. He is Bruce Levine. Bruce, right now in Chicago, we have two first-place teams, a couple of MVP candidates, one Cy Young favorite, one Rookie of the Year favorite, a probable repeat batting champion, a slugger with an 18-game hit streak. This is these are pretty heady times for Chicago baseball right now, aren't they, Bruce?
Matt, let's stop this season right now. I mean, be a good place to stop. You know, you have a home field advantage. You know, three-game series. You watch the wild cards work out and get ready for the first World Series between the Cubs and White Sox since 1906. Not a bad year, considering all that everybody has been through, both personally and in our world, and now watching the truncated baseball season transpire in front of us with only 3 weeks from tomorrow, Matt, left in the season. That is the shocking part of this. 21 games left for your Chicago White Sox, 22 for the Cubs. So it is going to go fast here, but hopefully a very spirited and long month of October for the Chicago baseball teams.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy that we have it, and here comes football to get in the way. Damn you, football! Why don't you have trouble getting started, just like baseball did and everybody else? But that's a whole nother story, Bruce. We will keep baseball in focus. That's what we do here every Saturday morning from 9 to 11. Looking forward to the show and the conversation today. Let people know who we're going to talk to along the way.
Dave Wills, the voice of the Tampa Rays for the last 16 years and an Oakland native, was also a broadcaster with me for many years and did White Sox pre and post game for probably a decade, will be joining us to talk about probably the best team in baseball. And that's the Tampa Rays. It's arguable right now with them and the Dodgers, of course. Most people think the Dodgers are the best team, and record-wise, they have stepped it up with tying their record for winning the first 30 out of 40 games that they've played this year. And pretty amazing run that the Dodgers are on. Will join us at 9:30, 10 o'clock, the old favorite, Patchy Tom Pachorik will join us to talk some White Sox baseball and also talk about the life and times of Tom Seaver, his teammate in 1984 and 1985. And of course, we will address all Chicago baseball with you throughout the show as well.
We will talk about the White Sox, who are in first place by a half game over both the Indians and the Minnesota Twins right now, on the strength of beating up on the Royals. They're 7-1 against the Royals. They're 17-10 in the division. There's a lot to talk about with that first place team, but let's talk about the other one for first here, because the Cubs and the Cardinals, in the midst of a five-game series in 4 days, these are the final games the Cubs have with the Cardinals. all year long. The division really has been left there for the taking by the Cubs as they've gone 10 and 12 in their last 22 since starting 13 and 3. But still, no one has stepped up and done it. And if the Cubs can play well here over the final games, and certainly over this series, then they've got a good chance to hold on to first place from moment one to the end of this weird season. And last night, Yu Darvish again was brilliant, again was absolutely his best self, and started off that series the way you're supposed to. Jack Flaherty chased in the third inning last night. But talk about Yu Darvish a little bit, Bruce, who just has been absolutely amazing all year long.
Yeah, I mean, here we have your Cy Young Award winner if the season stopped today. I mean, it's hands down. And when people look at this, Matt, and they go, wow, you know, what a great, you know, 2020. Boy, we've been waiting for this for a long time. No, that's really not the case. This goes back to the All-Star game of 2019. So since the All-Star game, Matt, of 2019, Darvish, 21 starts, okay, 2.26 ERA, 181 strikeouts, 15 walks. I'll read that one again. 15 walks in 21 starts since the All-Star game of 2019. Slash line against him, 199, 234, 346, all in 131 and two-thirds innings. So again, 21 starts, he's averaging 9 strikeouts, and he's averaging less than a walk a game over those 21 starts since the middle of 2019. So this is just not something that appeared this year. This is something that we saw manifest itself last year at the halfway point. The problem with the season last year for Darvish is he led the National League in no decisions. You know, I think he won 6 games last year. You know, he's already passed that up. So this was a great pitcher the last half of last season as well. And now you're seeing him throw all these different combinations of pitches, planting seeds in hitters' heads about pitches that he's just making up as he goes along as well.
Yeah, it's it really is amazing. Those stats, and it traces back to that moment where Tommy Hotovy and you had the conversation, not you, but you had the conversation about pace. And it started with a misunderstanding, Bruce, that Darvish thought they were telling him to speed up between pitches. And actually, Hotovy was telling him to speed up the delivery. But it led to a really good conversation about what Darvish has been told before, how different teams have wanted to take certain pitches away from him because they think he thinks about things too much. And he's a guy who has an unbelievable arsenal of pitches and wants to think about them all. He needs to be out there, and as he's described it, thinking about absolutely everything. He has a lot on his mind to think about and a lot of varieties of pitches that he could throw and wants to throw. And we're seeing just about everything here, just an incredible variety of pitches. He's throwing first pitch strikes to like everybody. Last night, 22 hitters, 17 first pitch strikes of many different varieties too. You'd be watching there like, all right, there's the fastball for a strike. There's a slider for a strike. There's a cutter for a strike. There's a big slow curve for a strike. Everything is under control and in the zone whenever he wants it to be. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. And what you point out, Matt, is so significant with this pitcher. He's so cerebral that he, you know, you would say that he overthinks things. Now, he would come back and say that's impossible because this is how you get better, by analyzing, thinking it out, figuring out what you have to do. But his stuff is so good, and as you said, he's just bombarding the strike zone. Okay, this time on his Zoom yesterday after the game, he talked about the fact that when he gets 2 strikes, you know, last night he just decided, I'm going to bombard the strike zone one more time. You know, instead of trying to get chase pitches and expanding the at bat, he just went to eliminating them. And you know, you saw the length and the pitch count be there, 7 innings. You know that, you know, just that home run. So it's pretty fascinating to watch him. And good for Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer that they hit on this. This was such a ugly beginning to his career. Back in 2018, where he just couldn't get going, then hurt his elbow, stopped pitching, a couple starts at South Bend, nothing happening. People were really worried about this first half of 2019. Not so great. And then, you know, he has just turned it on and put the pedal to the metal ever since then. So he is the top pitcher in the National League. He is the ace of the Cubs staff, and he is a very good reason why they have the wins and the first place status that they have right now.
I just want people to hear this about Darvish, just the kind of different headspace that he's working with. Darvish said that he used to have a bunch of different issues sometimes during games, but that these days, every once in a while, he'll just kind of have one issue. Here's Yu Darvish, and Adam Studzinski back at the shop will play some cuts for us here. This is Darvish, says he's able to work on issues much easier right now.
I'm not perfect every time. Just, you know, I have an issue each start. Like before, like 2018, 19, even before, every start I had like three or four issues, like, or five issues. But now if I have an issue, only one or two, so I can fix like easily. My four seam, I miss a lot four seam against righty. That was my issue. But I have a lot of cutter, like three or four kind of cutter, two kind of a slider, or three kind of a curveball. So I can replace then four seam the other pitch.
So Bruce, he's having trouble with the four seam fastball to righties. He's like, well, I'll use a couple of my cutters. I have two kinds of sliders. Yeah. I have three kinds of curveballs. He can just replace it. How many pitches does he have exactly, Bruce?
10 to 12, depending on what you believe. You know, I mean, some of them I think he just makes up to plant the seed in the hitter's head. So there's one more thing that they have to envision when they watch the video and go, is that a 10th pitch? No, that's the 11th pitch that you have to look for. When you're a hitter and you start thinking about that and you're not looking at zone, you're looking at deception of pitches and how many there are, I think you're lost. And his stuff is so good, and his command is so good right now that you have the top pitcher in baseball. It's really fun to watch him go to work because it's reminiscent of the way that he went through the Cubs back in 2017 when the Dodgers wiped them out in the NLCS.
Seven starts of at least six innings pitched and one or zero runs allowed. It's crazy. Yeah, no wonder the players call it win day. When he goes, let's jump over to the White Sox, who beat the Royals are now 7-1 against the Royals. First place by a half game over both the Twins and the Indians. 14 hits for them last night, only two for extra bases. Abreu with the two-run double again, and Eloy with a double. The fun thing about the Eloy double, we got to watch Luis Robert run and score from first on that thing. But Abreu is the man. They're running out of superlatives to discuss the MVP candidate in the American League, Jose Abreu.
You know, I was so wrong about Abreu. I always appreciated the fact that he was a very good baseball player on pretty much bad to below average teams for his entire career. I didn't realize with the support that he has around him how good of a player he really was. And I go back to 2017, right around the All-Star game, and you know, Ricky Renteria put him in as a DH, and he had him there 2 days in a row, and Abreu went up to him and said, well, why am I DH? And he said, well, we think, you know, right now that you'll be the best DH in the American League. And he said, no, I'm a first baseman. And he said, well, you don't play the position defensively well enough for us to put you there every day. So he made a recommitment to working with Joe McEwing, the infield coach, and made himself into an above-average player defensively. And now you see the complete player that they signed to a three-year contract in the offseason. And with the support around him in that lineup, Matt, you're seeing him just take off, and it is fun to watch.
He finally has the lineup that he had dreamed of having, guys in front, guys behind, kids that he can watch, kids who can learn from him, and they are learning from him. Abreu, with that two-run double, now leads the major leagues in RBIs, number one in RBIs in the major leagues. And Eloy Jimenez says that he learns something every time Abreu comes to the plate. This is Eloy Jimenez after the game talking about Jose Abreu in glowing terms.
What I can say, Abreu is one of the best hitters I ever see, you know. He's a super clutch hitter. And every time he's on the play, I learn something, you know. He tried to show us like something to learn every night, every at bat. So it's really good to see him produce those runs for us.
They're learning something when they watch. They're learning something when they talk. Abreu not afraid to go the other way, reads the pitchers, seems to bear down in run-producing situations. And the RBIs are consistent for that. Yeah, he finds a way to make it happen on an 18-game hitting streak right now, Bruce.
Yeah, when you have, and you mentioned it already, Matt, when you have Anderson Mankata leading off. Mankata, we haven't seen the real Mankata this year because of fatigue and injury. That's a subject we'll get to maybe later in the show as well. But when you have Anderson Mankata, then you go with Abreu and Encarnacion following that, Robert Jimenez. There's not too many lineups in baseball that can match that firepower. And we're not, no one's going to be shy to suggest that Robert is one of those special players that is probably going to be mentioned in that area, the Mike Trout area, before many years are up here. That's the type of ability he has, and the easy power and the easy speed when you watch him glide in the outfield, and defensive metrics that are showing him covering more ground than just about anybody in baseball, and the 455-foot home run that easily went off his bat and magically in 2 seconds appeared in that upper deck. These are things that are really supporting Abreu and the White Sox. And if you're a White Sox fan and you have been waiting a long time for that 2005 or 2008 team to reappear, here it is. You know, you have it offensively. Pitching-wise, it's been good enough so far. We'll get into some of that with both pitching staffs later on in the show. But at this point in time, this is a magical team to watch on a nightly basis. When you watch those broadcasts, when you listen to them, it's pretty darn exciting.
Yeah, it really is. And you mentioned Anderson, who's, you know, defending batting champion, and last I looked was leading the American League in hitting again, and is just having a tremendous season. The Energizer Bunny, baby, or the Pasta Man, whatever he wants to call himself. Nick Madrigal with some hits last night. Feels like a lot of hits up the middle for that guy. Got to check the spray charts. Charts.
Charts, too.
Yeah, you gotta always check those.
Oh, you better. Yes.
Oh,
double,
man.
Protect against it. Double protect.
Shift. You must shift on that one. The entire defense has to shift on that one. But it's an incredibly fun lineup, and they're doing all this without Mankata, who I think might be the best player on that entire team and best all-around player on that entire team. But he's not that this year, as he has a long and difficult continued recovery from COVID-19. So pretty crazy. Yeah. All right, we'll take a break, Bruce, and come back and talk to Dave Wills, yes?
Dave Wills, the voice of the Tampa Rays, Oakland native, longtime Sox pre- and post-game host, will join us. Hopefully you will listen. You're listening to The Score. That's Matt Spiegel. I'm Bruce Levine. We're here for you every Saturday, 52 weeks out of the year, talking baseball on Saturday morning.
It's Inside the Clubhouse, right back with lots more all morning long on 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. Bruce, I mentioned that Jose Abreu leading the major leagues in RBIs. There's one Cub in the top 50 of RBI guys. One Cub.
That's Ian Happ.
Ian Happ with 22 RBIs is your only Cub in the top 50 of that. Out of the lineup yesterday. We'll see what happens today. Cubs doubleheader today beginning at 4:15 is first pitch of the first game. Scary moment for Happ the other day. What do you think? It seems good that there a concussion is apparently not on the table. He was there on the bench last night with a black eye, but the vision is blurry as of yesterday.
Yeah, a little blurry. David Ross talked a little in his Zoom before the game about the fact that he went through a lot of tests yesterday, just protocols on concussion, just the quality of his sight, as you mentioned, the blurriness. So he was available off the bench, but that might have been a decoy. He needed a day off. We'll see if he's a part of the doubleheader today. But the good news is there's nothing serious. There is no damage to the eye socket, the eye itself. No double vision right now, just a little blurriness. So from that perspective, he dodged a bullet here in a very odd play where you foul a pitch off and it comes up and hits you in the eye.
Yeah, really weird one. So we're glad about that. Cubs will get an extra man today. Do we assume it'll be a pitcher? Or is it possible it's a position player so Happ can have one more day?
Well, I think it's Alzolay, isn't it?
Oh, is Alzolay the extra guy?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. Well, he'd been named yesterday, so wasn't sure if that was going to be the extra,
right. Well,
extra
double. Maybe they added him yesterday. We'll double check on that. But, you know, pitchers and new pitchers and people like Pedro Strop that we'll get into. It's retro baseball again. You know, if you played any time in the last 10 years, you might be picked out as a relief pitcher for any of the 30 major league teams right now because the attrition is unbelievable, Matt, as far as IL and pitchers, almost double and a little bit more than it was over the last 2 years for the same amount of time in the season. It's just a crazy amount. And anybody that thought that 3 weeks for preparing pitchers and getting ready for 60 ball games in 66 days was going to be good enough realizes what a fairy tale that was, thinking that they could all survive it. There's not a pitching staff, I don't believe, in baseball that hasn't been impacted.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely been brutal, and it's more arm injuries per capita than really any year in the last decade by far. It is certainly a result of the lack of routine, a result of the get up, get down, get up, get down way. It's crazy that the Cardinals, for example, are going to have to pitch a doubleheader on Tuesday and another on Thursday with an off day in between. But they're going to have to pitch a doubleheader on Tuesday, coming off a five-game series where all five of the starters from this weekend probably not available on Tuesday unless they do something funny with Flaherty, who they did take out early.
All right, I have a question for you before we get to Dave Wills, Matt, okay?
Sir.
Baseball player or rock star? Nate Lowe, Brandon Lowe, Nick Lowe?
Well, Brandon Lowe, I thought, baseball player. Nick Lowe. Nick Lowe is Cruel to Be Kind. That's rock star.
Yes.
Nate Lowe? Baseball player? Okay.
Well, maybe our next guest will help fill us in a little bit.
Our next guest joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park.
A favorite of mine and everybody on the Score, our good friend Dave Wills, the voice of the Tampa Rays, nice enough to join us on a Saturday morning and say hello to all his family and friends in Oakland as well. Willsy, welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, guys. How's everything going there?
Yeah, we're going with the lowies and the lows and trying to figure out.
Hey, wait till we've had that happen where Kevin Cash has put Nate Lowe at first base and then Brandon Lowe at second base. And when they get a ground ball to one another, it's not easy. And then there's a Josh Lowe, the younger brother of Nate, who's at who's up in Double A and Triple A. So we could have a Lowe, and Lowe with the Tampa Bay Rays here in a very, very short period of time.
Willsy, I guess my point to all this fun that I bring up with names is the Tampa Rays, probably the best team in the American League, certainly arguable. Not a lot of name guys on this team, but a lot of quality there. How much fun has this season been for you so far?
You can't complain. I mean, you know, Andy and I were just talking about this last night. You know, we're sitting there talking about how this guy really hasn't gotten going yet, and this guy's been dinged up in our rotation, and we've used 24 different pitchers, which doesn't really add up to usually good news. It really tests your depth, and then yet over the last 25 games, the Rays are 21-4, and won 8 out of 10 games over the New York Yankees when they were able to line up Gerrit Cole, Masahiro Tanaka, and then at the time their best number three guy, which was either James Paxton or Jordan Montgomery. So somehow, some way, this team keeps on winning. And yes, they get it done with some guys that you might not know who they are. I mean, you know, Nick Anderson was just reinstated from the 10-day IL, and here's a guy that arguably was the best pickup at the trade deadline last year when the Rays picked him up along with Trevor Richards from the Miami Marlins. Nobody had ever really heard of the guy, and yet he went out there and was our high-leverage reliever for the last part of the season and in the postseason, and might have been one of the best relievers going. And then there's Mikey Brasso, a guy who had a big two-homer day against the Yankees the other day after getting buzzed by Aroldis Chapman the night before. And he's a Chicago area kid born on the other side in Indiana, and he's done some great things for us. And then you look at shortstop, Willie Adames has done some great things in the outfield. We've been kind of waiting on a few guys to get going, but it's been fun to watch what, you know, again, Manuel Margot's been doing here over the past couple of weeks. So it's a roster full of guys that a lot of people have never heard of. But, you know, the pitching is starting to come back together here. The pitching was kind of in shambles for a couple of weeks after the opening of the season with Blake Snell not fully stretched out. Charlie Morton had to go on the IL. Yanni Chirinos went on the IL. He's lost for the season. But you know, again, Tyler Glasnow wasn't stretched out yet because he had some time spent for COVID. But the pitching's starting to be what the pitching is for the Rays. Our starters have been doing much better over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, I'm excited that this team has more in the tank. It's hard to believe you can go 21-4, but still think there's more in the tank for a team. But I truly believe that's the case for the Rays.
You've got a tremendous organization to be working for down there, Dave. You mentioned Glasnow, and I keep thinking about Glasnow and Austin Meadows for Chris Archer, which absolutely blew up in the Pirates' face as one of many, many deals the Rays have pulled off well. But talk to me about the manager. What Kevin Cash did this week in defending Brasso, who'd been buzzed with 101 from Aroldis Chapman above the head, the way that Cash came out after that game, called out the Yankees, defended his guys, and threw down the threat of the stable full of guys who can throw 98, and you can quarrel about that if you want, but clearly the players loved that and responded immediately. What's the relationship like before that and since that for the players and Kevin Cash?
All right, well, mark down one other name, Shane Baz, B-A-Z. He was also included in the deal for Chris Archer, and he's at our 60-man camp right now, and he could be a special arm. I mean, he really can be somebody to keep an eye on. But as far as Cash is concerned, you know, the guy really knows the game of baseball. And the guy, you know, again, he had a tough little act to follow. He followed a guy by the name of Joe Maddon and, you know, kind of caught us when we were in a little bit of a downswing, but immediately started to turn things around. We didn't go into one of those major rebuilds, and a lot of it has to do with Kevin Cash. He instills a lot of confidence in people. He doesn't run away from guys if they have some tough times. I think that's one of the reasons why our bullpen has been built up so well, because he shows confidence in guys. And then, as you said, he has their back. You know, we hear Kevin vent a few times, obviously, when it's just us getting ready to do our pregame show, or maybe I'll see Kevin after a ball game back when we used to be able to socialize and have a couple of drinks with, and I'll hear him, you know, vent to us sometimes about different things. But that was impressive. I mean, he was hot. There's no doubt about it. And he had it, and deservedly so. And I could see even on the close-ups on TV that while that inning was unfolded, he was getting hotter and hotter after every time Chapman threw at the head. He started with Wendell, he went to Meadows, and then he did it over the head of Brasso. And so I wasn't really surprised that he was going to, you know, be a little upset about what happened. But for him to really have the back of the players, to say what he did, to talk about this, I got a stable full of guys who throw 98, period. And then he took a big, you know, slurp of his drink. It was awesome. And I think the players were all pumped up about it, too. And, you know, I know that Kevin reached out to Aaron Boone back when these two teams played in St. Petersburg a couple of weeks ago. And when the Yankees were chirping and hit a couple of our guys then, and Kevin told him to stop the nonsense, get control of the situation, because this is ridiculous. We're not hitting anybody, and your guys are chirping, and we're getting hit. So Kevin was a little ticked off at that time. And then when obviously it continued at Yankee Stadium, he had had enough. And, you know, I loved it. I think, and the players loved it. And then going into the next day, guys, Kevin told us there was a lot of emotion floating around that clubhouse, where I think there are some guys who wanted to get retribution. And then there were some guys that were saying, let's just play baseball and beat them. And he brought in two guys. He brought in Joey Wendell, the guy that got hit, and he brought in Mike Brasso, the guy who got the you know, tower buzz. And he said, what do you guys want to do? He asked them first, and they said, let's just go out there and play ball. And then he went into the clubhouse, he called a team meeting, and he said, this is what we're going to do. We're not going to do any retaliation. We're going to play. And he said there was a lot of there were some eyes welled up because people were so fired up about that game. And then he said the only bad thing was that the way we came out on Wednesday night, he was upset that he had to watch the game from a suite down the left field line. He really wished he was on the bench because of the energy and the way that the Rays responded Wednesday night and beating the Yankees. It was really one of those moments. And it's not a moment, I think, that galvanizes the team. I think the team's already galvanized. I think they're already together. But it further galvanizes what this Rays team is all about.
That's the voice of the Tampa Rays on radio. Dave Wills, our good friend, joining us on Inside the Clubhouse. He's Matt. I'm Bruce. We're here for you every Saturday, 52 weeks out of the year, talking baseball between 9 and 11. Willsy, three games for Chapman. Okay, I you know me and you know my years in baseball. I don't go after players, but three games with what he did and how you know the reputation has been out there. I imagine some people are pretty upset about that.
I would think Joe Kelly would be at the top of the list. I mean, you know, here's a guy, Joe Kelly, who did the same thing with the Dodgers, essentially. He didn't hit anybody. He threw behind people, and he ended up getting eight games that I think was further reduced down to five. But I think it's exactly the same thing. I said, did he get one game for every head that he buzzed? I mean, it was a joke. I thought he should have been somewhere closer to eight games. He's got priors, as you said.
I agree.
Not only priors for what he did on the field, but priors for what he's done off the field, and I really truly believe that Major League Baseball missed and whiffed on that one. That that should have been many, many more games, and maybe he's getting his due diligence by going out there and still pitching and blew the game in New York the other day against the Mets. And you know, it's a shame. Sometimes I think you know, the inconsistency of these penalties right now. I was kind of hoping that as you know, Chris Young moved into the spot, a former player, a well-educated young man, I thought we'd start to get a little more consistency, but it sure doesn't look like that's the case.
Hey, Willsy, it's hard for us to get a sense for baseball in the Eastern divisions and the Western divisions, frankly, when nobody's playing each other. Mm-hmm. What is your sense for the team you used to work for, the Chicago White Sox, who are one of the two most exciting, you know, lineups, young lineups in baseball? I look at them, I look at the Padres, but maybe you'll be angry I didn't put the Rays in there. But either way, what's your sense for the White Sox, who are so much fun to watch this year?
I can't disagree with you guys about the lineups, you know, Matt, you're picking. I mean, those two are pretty darn exciting. They, you know, hit home runs on accident. They can put runs up on the board very, very quickly. And you're right. I mean, it is going to be kind of hard to figure out, all right, who's that good? I mean, right now I'm kind of thinking, you know, are even the Yankees that good right now? Obviously, they're missing Stanton and Judge, but they've missed those guys a lot over the last couple of years anyway. But, you know, I think it's going to – you look at the American League Central, and outside of the Cleveland Indians, you know, it's hard to sit there and say, is there a lot of great pitching in the American League Central? I know Lucas Giolito's thrown the no-hitter. I think the White Sox bullpen looks to be a much improved. But at the end of the day, you know, across the board, I wonder if they have some of the thickness that some of the other, like especially the East Division, has sometimes at the top of their rotation from team to team to team. You know, from top to bottom in that lineup for the White Sox, you know, it's a very, very good lineup. They've got some guys that can hit for power. They got guys that can hit for average, some run guys that can run. You know, I've been talking to some people back in Chicago, obviously, constantly. They see what the Rays are doing. And I apologize if this guy's listening to me right now, but there was some guy who was texting me last night. The number, it just came up a number, and I was answering him because he made it sound like he knew me really, really well, but I was going back and forth with him. So if you're listening today and you were texting me last night, I might not know who you are. I forgot who you are, but it didn't come up.
Well,
with
I hate
name,
when
but,
that
you know,
happens.
Yeah, and it was too late to sit there and say, you know, I don't know who this is. I'm sorry. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's just they've got a real deep lineup, and you know, the question will be after Giolito, you know, how are they going to pitch consistently and how is that matchup going to be? But, you know, it's going to be – it's fun to watch. It's good to see both Chicago teams playing well and doing what they're doing. And, you know, and like I said, out west, that's really a crapshoot. I mean, we know the Dodgers are the Dodgers. But, you know, I get home and on the MLB package, I'll sit there and watch some games. And, like, last night I was watching some of the Angels-Houston game. And the Astros aren't what they used to be. And, you know, you try and sit there and be interested by a Rockies, you know, Colorado – or Rockies San Francisco Giants game. And it's just not the same. So we'll have to wait and see how this playoff plays out. But I think at the end of the day, the oldest adage, and, you know, I still think it applies, even though some of these old adages have been thrown out the window with analytics, good pitching will stop good hitting. And I think the Rays are prepping themselves to be a good pitching team with better hitting than they've ever had. And our defense is still coming around. But the White Sox, no doubt, they are a very, very exciting team to watch. And I'm happy to see that things have turned around on the south side for all my Sox fan friends out there that depend on them and had to watch the Cubs be so good these last few years. Boy, am I glad I didn't live in Oakland during this time.
Wilsey, in closing with you, we only got a couple minutes, but tell us about the technical side of broadcasting games from on the road and with empty stadiums. How's that worked for you?
You know, it's a challenge, but it still beats working for a living. I mean, you know, I think as kids, all of us who are broadcasters, we probably broadcast games in front of TVs and pretended we were doing games. You know, they set us up with about five or six screens. You know, I got a big 50-inch TV that's at the edge of my table, and we have five different views on it. We have a big, you know, high home camera. We've got the static camera on the scoreboard and on the bullpens, and then there's one camera that moves around that we get a few other looks at, and then we watch obviously what Sun Sports, our TV provider, provides for the play-by-play. So you know, have we missed a few things? Have we misjudged a couple? I mean, I thought the ball came off of Kevin Kiermaier's bat as like a little looper the other day, and it ended up in the second deck at Yankee Stadium. And you know, there's some times where rundowns can be somewhat challenging, trying to keep an eye on where the base runners are. But, you know, I told our bosses who have come in a couple of times and said that it sounds like you guys are there, which makes me a little bit nervous because they start thinking about the future travels.
Yeah, exactly.
But I said, don't worry. I said, we build in about five mistakes a night just to make sure you guys know that this shouldn't be the new normal. So, it's been a little bit of a challenge, but, you know, I got a great partner in Andy Freed that we can laugh at our mistakes And like I've always told Andy too, I don't think there's ever been a perfect baseball broadcast. So you know, when we make a mistake, we have fun with it, and we move on.
Hey, Dave, thanks for getting back to me. Sorry, Bruce. I just wanted to tell him thanks for getting back to me yesterday. Thanks for getting back to me yesterday, even though you didn't know it was me, man. I appreciated the conversation and all the information about the White Sox and the Rays. It was a good exchange. Thank you.
And, Willsie, if you want to hear a perfect radio, Matt does a baseball show on Sunday. It's Hit and Run between 9 and 12. It's always perfect. So
perfect for 3 hours. That's pretty obscene. You know, it's that extra 3:15 that we play long games, so it's that extra 15 minutes that always gets us, you know. But I'll tune in. And
Willsie,
you
best to you.
You want.
All right, best to you and Liz and the family. Thanks for hopping on. Have a great rest of the season. Hopefully we'll see you in the playoffs.
That'd be great. I'd love it. It worked out pretty well for us in 08, so I'd be happy to see if it will work again in 2020. Thanks, guys.
Take care, Willsie.
See ya.
That's fun. I love that he's got – he knows so many people back in Chicago. Somebody's texting about the White Sox, and he doesn't bother to say, who is this? New phone. Who's this? No, he just doesn't even bother. That's beautiful.
I'm sure we've all gotten those, right?
I mean, Of course.
Yeah, and it's like – and you don't want to say, I don't know who you are, you know – I mean, you should say, I'm sorry, who is this? And then you'll say, you know, it's your aunt. You know, why don't you have my name in your phone? But whatever. Dave Wills, great, great broadcaster, great friend. Fun having him on.
670 The Score is where you are. Cubs with a doubleheader today against the Cardinals. Adbert Alzolay, the first game, a bullpen game, the second one. We'll talk about that battered pitching staff and White Sox pitching as well later on next hour. Top of the hour, though, Tom Pachorek will join us to talk some White Sox and to talk some of his former teammate Tom Seaver. It's Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and me, Matt Spiegel, right here on 670 The Score.
Contreras drives one in the air, deep left center. It's got a chance. Gone. Home run, Wilson Contreras. Cubs lead 4-1. Contreras has driven in all four runs. And this was a rocket, a line drive to the seats in left center. His fifth of the year, he's driven in four. What a night for Wilson Contreras.
Big, big night for the catcher DHing last night. Bruce Levine with Yu Darvish on the mound and Victor Caratini doing the catching. Contreras with a big two-run single with the bases loaded in the first, another RBI single later, and then that home run very early in the at-bat. I believe it was a first-pitch ambush after two very long at-bats earlier on for Wilson Contreras. Bruce, good night for him.
Yeah, and, you know, it was fun to watch his at-bats. It was fun to watch Eloy Jimenez and his at-bats yesterday, a single to right, a single to center, a double to left center. That's what I call baseball. That's what I call the game that we all love. You know, I'm still, you know, reeling from, you know, the guys like Tatis and Mike Trout being on pace for almost 60 home runs right now. We're hitting what would be the 25% mark, quarter of the season gone mark, for the regular baseball season right now with 40 games pretty much in the books here. And the numbers, the home run numbers are still astronomical. The strikeout numbers, astronomical. Walk numbers, way too high. So what if I were to tell you, Matt Spiegel, that next year there will be a consideration to deaden the baseball? How would you feel about that?
Be interesting. I think, look, I love contact. I love balls in play. I think there should be some kind of adjustment. Here's the crazy adjustment that I'd be more in favor of, Bruce. I'm ready to ban the shift. I'm ready to have two infielders on either side of second base, and the infielders have to have at least 1 foot on the dirt. So we lose that guy playing in shallow right where he catches every line drive. So that way we lose the motivation for guys to just try and hit it over the shift, to not bother to hit line drives and put the ball in play. But one of those two things might need to happen. Yeah. Do you think there's a big push for deadening the baseball?
I'm hearing there's a groundswell of people who run the game that would like to see the game get back to baseball players doing what baseball players do, and that is put the ball in play, okay? Too much strikeout, too much home run. So almost 40% inactivity at one point here about a week ago, Matt, where 40% of the play was walk, strikeout, home run. Now, that's incredible. That means there's no action on the 40% of the plays because the home run does not elicit any action whatsoever as far as defense goes. So from that perspective, yeah, I mean, the game is sluggish. We're happy here in Chicago because we have two first-place teams, and that stuff is really not a consideration right now. We're concentrating on the fun of the game and the fact that both teams have a chance to go deep into the playoffs this year. But from the perspective of the game itself, I'm for it. And I like your idea about defenses. I just hate the you know, let's take, as a comp, let's take a look at, and we have to break here quickly, but Anthony Rizzo became a 270 hitter, and he's a 300 hitter because of the shift. And that's how hard he hits the ball into the shift, and that's how many outs they make on him from short right field. It's pathetic. So I'm all for doing away with shifting or a modified version of that.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and I'm glad that some of those big things are being considered. There's no harm in considering those things. We've seen some of the rule changes be actually a lot of fun, the necessity rule changes this year, but that's a whole nother conversation that we will have time to have at some point. Not right now. We'll take a break. Come back. Tom Pachorik on his old teammate Tom Seaver and these current White Sox. That's next on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.